Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have one of our really good friends, Michelle Kimmy. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
I have waited a year to have you on this show.
Oh, really?
It's true. I have been, like, cavelling for you, because I've just been, because we know each other. And so it's kind of fun to get to talk to people that have sort of been in your life for about 10 years now.
That's true.
At least
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that
crazy?
Think about all of the connotations of...
What year of festival are we in?
15.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, 13.
For 13. So, we'll do that. But first question is always, Cheryl Kimmy, how the fuck did you get to the couch today? From your perspective, how do you know us in the asylum, and how did you get here today?
Fringe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We met through Fringe.
Absolutely.
And I'm just trying to think back. You coordinated the fashion show for starting in year three.
Yep.
And you'd been a designer in it prior to that?
Yes, the year before, so I think.
2009.
Yeah.
No, that would have been 2006.
So then I must not have been, I think my first show was 2007.
Yes.
And then I must have taken over under Melissa Birdsong because I worked with her as like volunteer, and then I took over the next year. So I think, 2008 was my first.
Yeah.
It's all a blur.
Yeah. Yes.
I need to go back and map the history.
I know.
Before it's all gone.
Right.
Before
yeah.
It's mm-hmm. out of my head.
Yeah.
Like, you are, how many years have you been with the Fringe Festival?
15.
So why did you feel like you needed to bring the Fringe to Kansas City, or sort of what drew you to that?
Well, all my theater friends kept saying, Kansas City needs a Fringe Festival. I'm like, well, why isn't anybody doing it?
Right.
Yeah.
And I saw so many of our young artists fleeing Kansas City because there weren't opportunities for them here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, then let's do a Fringe Festival. So I went to the Arts Council, and Joan Israelite was the director then.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a relative that was on the board at the Minnesota Fringe. And she hooked us up. That was the summer of 04. Oh, my gosh. That was the summer of 04. And
what were you doing before 04? Like, what was Cheryl Kimmy doing before she decided to invest her whole life into this? Because I want to get back to 2004.
Distant memory. Okay, back it up to 2001.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I was in... we'll go back even further. Rewind even further. I was a music major in college.
Awesome. Where'd you go to college?
Emporia. Cool. Emporia State University. And but then decided I didn't want to teach. So I stayed another year and got a business degree. So I was going to do music merchandising or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up in sales in corporate America. So in fast forward, having kids. kids that are doing theater in the park. Oh,
yes,
my God.
True.
Now, point of clarification. I was a backstage mom, not a stage mom.
Which one of your kids is doing theater in the park?
All three of the boys did theater in the park. Yeah.
That is such a good outlet.
The oldest started it. He came home from his fifth grade year and said, I'm trying out for theater in the park. I went, okay, cool.
What, do you remember what show that was?
Oliver, and he finaled for the lead.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, whoops.
No, you can say holy
didn't
shit.
Didn't know the kid could sing, and boy, he could sing. So then the brothers had to follow suit, so we did our time doing theater, and...
I love the Kimmy boys.
Oh, Lordy B. And then, let's see, fast forward. They all did Starlight. They all, mm-hmm. That's when the community choruses were great.
Mm-hmm.
Wish they still had.
Me too.
Still had mm-hmm. that. That was a wonderful opportunity. Then fast forward, I'm working in corporate America. It's 2001. And I bet you guys don't know this.
That's the point of Couch Chats.
It's 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the break room in Corporate Woods, in our building in Corporate Woods, watching in horror as the towers are burning, and management comes in and says, get back to your desk, get back to work. We don't see a plane flying into this building.
Oh.
I was horrified. I was horrified.
Horrified.
Oh. Can I say that again? Horrified. I still am. To this day, I'm still horrified.
How many days did you last after that?
Oh, I went back to my desk and called HR and submitted my resignation. I said, I'm not working for these SOBs.
Really? Mm-hmm.
The world had stopped.
Yeah.
But by God, they wanted their sales to go. I was like, no.
Do you think that was one of the most recent times, or first times that you sort of invested in yourself and your own integrity? To say, I'm not going to put up with this?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a significant point in my life.
Yeah.
A very significant point in my life. And so, ironically...
Did you call your husband before you quit? No. Not that you have
to.
Not that you have to, everyone out there. But I just...
But because you know Phil,
yes.
That's a question to my husband, Phil. Oh, no. He learned early on, I do whatever I do. And if you don't like it, too bad.
I have that same marriage.
Yes. Phil is painfully aware of that, much to his own chagrin, I'm sure. Or his own stress levels, at least.
Yes.
I love Phil Cummings.
So, but then another Phil. So the month prior to that, I hired Phil Keenan to come into our office to do some assessment for us because we were stuck in some ruts and we couldn't seem to break through. And I thought, okay, Phil is a creative. He can look at this and help us look outside of our own boxes. And he came in and spent a couple weeks in the office and said, why aren't you doing this, 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 and this? I went,
Phil Keenan is a mastermind. He's someone who I would love to have on this show.
You need
for
to.
Real.
Because he's the one who introduced me to Fringe Festivals.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. When he was teaching, he took his high school students regularly to Edinburgh. And he was theater in the park. And so my kids were doing one of his shows. And we were invited, the cast was invited to see their Edinburgh show. I just thought, Fringe Festival? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I was totally enamored.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, this is cool. So that's my first introduction to Fringe. Mm-hmm. So then when Phil Keenan was working for me at Corporate America, he said, Cheryl, what are you doing here? You need to be working in the arts. I went,
why would you do that? There's no money.
And he told me about a position that was open. So the day that I resigned, then I turned around, called him, got the information on the position, and interviewed for my first arts position, and I started working as the deputy director for Heart of America Shakespeare Festival.
Cool.
So I was there for 2 years, and that's where I started seeing all of the flight of our young artists.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what in the world? And
you were sort of on the ground floor with those conversations, too.
Yes, yes.
And you always sort of have been...
Well, from that point on, yeah. And so just figuring out, how do we keep our talent here? Mm-hmm. And because at that point, if it wasn't the majors, there wasn't really much of anything else going on.
Yeah.
Crossroads Theaters was really underground. Cross Currents Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then Unicorn was mm-hmm. holding their own.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that was pretty much it, yeah.
I mean, those were the theaters that I was going to. If it wasn't the Rep, it was the Unicorn and the Heartland.
Yeah.
And that was really the three theaters that I was really going to see stuff in.
And now, can we name all of the theaters?
Nope.
You can't.
No.
Because they pop up and go away every day. Mm-hmm. We almost...
But that's the beauty of it.
Yes.
Because people are trying and learning and figuring out, should they be doing this or not?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or is the timing right for them or not?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it seems to be coming from, I learned it in college, so I don't think it's the worst advice ever, but if the opportunity isn't there, make it for yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to applaud those people who decide to invest in themselves and go and create. You know, it's just, people worry about the saturation of the market, but I don't know if there's possible to have too much art, so.
No. And when people say, oh, it's... Look at Walgreens and CVS.
Mm-hmm.
They go up across from each other. Same thing with Home Depot and Lowe's.
Right.
Although Home Depot got a bad day yesterday.
Oh, I'm no more shopping at
Home
Depot.
I'm not going to
Home
Depot either.
Lowe's. Sorry. Politics here.
That's always
almost every week.
Yeah. My husband was showing me that tweet at about 12 o'clock this morning. Just he's like, ooh.
No more Home
Anyway.
Depot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bit sad. Sad times were in.
And I always say, but every new theater company is potentially that one that in the beginning, you know, like
20 years ago when people were like, what's this unicorn? You know, like,
exactly.
It does happen.
Oh, even when they became part of the Fringe family, became the mm-hmm. venue, because Cynthia initially was like, I don't know about this. And the first year we were there, and I was in the lobby, standing talking to Cynthia, when a couple walked past us, and they were like, oh, wow, never realized this was a theater. I thought this was a bar. And you should have seen Cynthia's eyes.
Sure. She was like, we'll go ahead and do the French Festival. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can we sign up for that? And Cynthia's done a great job
with
that.
They're awesome to work with. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But no, winding back, this has just been a crazy ride. Yep. So 2004, I reached out and talked to Joan Israelite at Arts KC, and she connected me with Minnesota Fringe. So I went to my very first Fringe in August of 2004, and I talked to artists and volunteers and staff and board and sponsors and people on the street just to figure out if this thing called Fringe could work in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I came back going, oh, heck yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, this can work. And so, well, ironically, I was working at the time with Just Off Broadway Theater and Crossroads mm-hmm. District Association, and we were looking at doing something in 06. Well, then I got a call from Joan Israelite saying, Cheryl, what are you doing next Thursday morning at 10? I went, I don't know. Where do I need to be?
You tell me.
Now, when Joan calls, you clear your calendar. And she was meeting with Central Library staff. They were just opening the new Central Library, mm-hmm. and they were talking about doing a youth fringe. Uh-huh. And Joan knew that that was in our plans, our long-range plans, and so she brought us all together, and we were on parallel paths, and we decided to merge forces and make this happen, mm-hmm. except they wanted to do something in 05. You guys, we're talking, this is December of 04, and they wanted to do something the summer of 05? Uh-huh. Oh my goodness gracious.
Okay. I mean, now that sounds insane, because we know that pretty much it's the next year's Fringe starts before the other one is.
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah. So we did three all calls to artists. Had three different meetings for artists, and three primary questions. Do you think Kansas City's ready for a Fringe? Would you produce in the Fringe? And should we try to do something in 06? Should we try to throw something together for 05 or wait till 06? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, why wait? Overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So we threw up a website the 1st of March.
Okay.
Applications were due the 1st of May. We said if we had 30 applicants, we would have enough to do a festival. Mm-hmm. We had 52.
Yeah.
And we took all 52!
Yeah. Do you still have that now? Do you take all applicants, or is there sort of a vetting process?
It's
now?
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
So those who have their act together,
mm-hmm.
get it?
That's funny. Mm-hmm. How long have you been working on that one?
You know, each fringe is interesting. Each fringe has a little bit different approach. Mm-hmm. There's a few that are juried. Many are lottery. That you literally pull balls out of the barrel. But I resist that because I saw what happened in Minnesota one year. Their number one show of the year, which was freaking amazing, mm-hmm. didn't get drawn.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh man. So, right. So for me, it's those who have their act together and get mm-hmm. their stuff in.
Yep.
Have first shot at mm-hmm. and then once we're full, then those we continue taking applications until the deadline, and then those go to a waiting list.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your cap? How many people got to participate in 2019 or get to?
We have 75 shows this year. So yes.
75 shows. How many venues?
14. So some have 4, some have 7. Majority have 6.
Yeah. The Arts Asylum is a 6-show venue.
Yes.
We are so excited for what we've got coming up. I mean, I'm going to have you sort of do all of your call to action, you know, about like how to help people get tickets and how to navigate that.
Yes.
But it is just so cool what happens in the month of July in Kansas City.
It's true.
Because the buzz just begins. You know, it's almost like June ends and all of a sudden you start to see everyone be like, Here's my friend's show. I'm going into rehearsal. Oh shit, I'm finishing a rewrite. Oh god. Oh god, I lost an actor. You know, you begin the scramble, and we always say Fringe is like nothing else. Like if the more that you try to fit it into what you think it's going to be, it's going to resist you. You know, and we kind of talk with all of the people who come through our venue, and just to say, it is a particular ride that you have to take on, because you are one of six in our venue,
right?
And you've got to make sure, just as much as I do, that those like seats are filled, because you're competing with 75 other shows.
That is correct.
At any given time, you know, in the 6:30 slot, there's probably 14 to 15 shows happening at the same time, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that is a, talk about a lottery, which one you're going to pick, and that's why you got to really plan what you're going to go do, or that week disappears.
Yeah, you have to work at it.
You do.
Yeah.
Or you just pick a venue and go see whatever is in that venue. Exactly.
Which
that
is, evening. I think, why we were lucky enough to get six shows, because we're sort of, the Arts Asylum was sort of slightly off of the beaten path, and so it's kind of great on those Saturdays, especially, when you can almost post up here.
Right.
And be here from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock and see six.
That is correct.
Amazing shows. So I'm really glad that works out.
Oh,
in
the people who strategize, that was my favorite thing. I have been involved in almost every facet of Fringe in some way, shape, or form. I've written a show. I've done the fashion. You've been on staff. I'm on the program committee. I've worked 411. I've done all of the things. And there are very few things that make me as happy as sitting down at 411 and watching the like true masterminds of like, here is my like map
schedule
of what I'm doing the whole time, where I'm just like, those are the people who are like, I saw 32 shows, or you know, whatever the crazy thing is that
and I
is,
love when people start
it's
saying
amazing
that those shows are sold out. Like people are like, sorry.
Yeah.
Sold out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sold out.
Yeah, I resisted that for a couple of years. I was like, no, we've got to be able to have tickets for sale at walk up and I thought, no.
Because then
what
if no one walks up?
That, exactly.
Yeah.
And then people think that it's sold out. And so pulled that back a couple of years ago and said, okay, if we sell out in advance, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's the thing we've done. Yep.
How have you like kept the Fringe Festival alive and breathing all of these years? Meaning, like, what is something that you try to bring to it new every year that makes it better or grander?
It's the artists that bring new and better every year.
Cool.
And the bar just keeps rising.
It does.
Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's that friendly competition, if you will, mm-hmm. that helps everybody be their best.
Yeah.
And strive to be their best. And I love to see that. So, mm-hmm. wow. And the people are work to do well.
Yes.
And especially newbies. I love, there's a couple of newbies this year that are just like, okay, now what else can I do? Okay, what else, what do you recommend? It's like, yes, that's it. I mean, those who are eager and open to learn, and go talk to these folks. These are mm-hmm. experienced producers. They've been down this road before. Talk to them. And there are many that are more than willing to share.
Who is your constant? Who's someone, do you have someone who's participated in all the years of Fringe Festival? Do you have like a winner?
Okay, so Brother John is mm-hmm. the longest running. John has been in 14 of the 15 Fringes, counting this mm-hmm. one.
That's amazing.
He wasn't in year one, but he's been in every year since.
Isn't that so cool when you have those constants
mm-hmm.
like that,
mm-hmm.
that both believe in what you're doing and also bring a mm-hmm. a clout to the festival?
Yeah.
And Courtney, I think you're probably next.
It's crazy.
I was a tech. Oh, and then, I was a tech.
Oh,
year
that's
two.
Right. You were a tech.
I was
oh, my
a
gosh.
Tech year
that's
two.
Right.
And
where did you tech?
Joby.
Oh,
with Nikki Toff. Yeah.
So, forgotten.
Yeah. So I was a tech year two, and I have been something every single year since then.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is my 14th festival. Something in
some
way, shape, or form.
Now, venue operator. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is my 10th. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm year 10.
But you're a prime example. So you stepped in year three to help with the fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
And the fashion show was very critical in the early days because there weren't other opportunities for fashion designers to share their work. And that was a huge piece. Oh my gosh, our fashion component was massive.
It was giant.
It was massive.
Casey Fringe Festival, I think, started 24. fashion shows now take place in Kansas City.
But now that's spun out. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's spun out of Fringe, and now there's a whole fashion world, and the designers have multiple options to share and show.
Absolutely.
Same thing has happened with burlesque. Burlesque was huge in the Fringe in the early years, and it's funny because there's still people who think that Fringe is all burlesque.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just, guys, that's not what I would think of
we've
first.
We've had two or three, and I think the most we ever had was five or six out of, what, 70, 80 shows?
But that may not be the answer to one of my questions, but what do you think one of the biggest misconceptions of Fringe is?
That it's all risque, and that it's all, for those who go, oh, that's burlesque, kind of one. It's like, no. There's just a few. And it's interesting, the last several years, as we break out, we have the artists rate their shows. Yeah. All ages, parental guidance, mature audiences. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the TV, like the movie ratings. Mm-hmm. Mature is R, and in fact, next year we will probably just flip it to R so that it's synonymous with movie ratings. But it's about a third. Mm-hmm. So there really is something for everybody.
Yeah.
And another misconception is, oh, it's all community theater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I learned that early on, and I'll just go ahead and say where this is. In the early years, I was invited right after the Kauffman Center opened.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited to speak to the Kauffman ambassadors, and I was really excited about it. And one of my volunteers, excuse me, was a Kauffman ambassador and said, Cheryl, don't expect a warm reception. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the Kauffman Center.
Yeah.
Well, they think it's all community theater. Okay. So, I started with a trivia quiz.
Cool.
And asked who all had seen A Drowsy Chaperone.
Mm-hmm. And that started in the Fringe.
and that has been through here multiple times. Then I ask who's seen You're in Town, the musical. And your hands went up. then I said, who's seen or heard of Stomp? More hands went up. And I said, okay, now let's flip genres. King's Speech. Oh, and I've now forgotten. What year did King's Speech win Best Film?
I think it was 10.
Mm-hmm. 11, 10
yeah, 10 yeah, yeah, yeah.
And virtually every hand in the room went up. I said, so, anybody want to guess the common denominator here? Total silence.
Uh-huh.
Total silence. And one girl's arm hesitantly went up, and I went, yeah, Joseph Fringe? I went, yes! They all premiered in Fringe festivals, and people were astounded.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a testing ground, and I realize people don't understand.
You shows have just Overture from last year that is literally in New York City in 2 weeks.
Yep. Exactly.
Right.
And there are many shows from Fringe. This is a testing ground, folks.
Yes.
Fringes are testing grounds to figure out what works, what doesn't. Shows don't just appear on Broadway.
Right.
They are worked and vetted and worked and reworked and reworked again.
I think you have someone, do you have one this year that, I think it might be in our space, that maybe has had a rewrite maybe from 2010 or something. I read that. I should figure out. Bob Evans wrote a thing about it yesterday. I'll figure that out. So sorry that I just pulled that out of nowhere. But it was something that like had a already had a writing, and then there's an improved version of it.
Let me know what that is. I need to know.
I know. Yeah, but I will find that out for you. I'm so sorry that I threw out a random fact.
Oh, no, that's okay. There are so many moving parts with this. Yes, and I learn new things every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty of Fringe. Yes. There are constant surprises and constant moving parts. And new lessons to learn all the time.
Yep. Well, what is your lesson? You know, because I don't want to speak ill about Fringe, because there's nothing, I hate saying negative stuff, but there is, like, what do you think is sort of an obstacle or something that you have had to overcome that is awesome?
Which year?
today. Let's see, I mean, just for fun, comparatively, if you remember from first year to 19.
First year, first year we wanted to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to keep it simple, so we just ask artists to rate their shows.
Huh? How simple was that?
Well, there was a group from Iowa, Aggravated Assault Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And Brent, my youngest, was actually the tech in that space. Mm-hmm. He was a whole 15 years old.
I was like, who was he at that point?
And he was at the old arts incubator. Mm-hmm. Yes. Where we had upstairs venue, excuse me, and we had a venue downstairs. And so we had a small venue downstairs. Basic setup, the group came in, Aggravated Assault Ensemble. I can't remember the name of the show. Anyway, they were the first, that year we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. Mm-hmm. 3 shows in each venue. Mm-hmm. And they rotated. So they were the first show on Friday night. They'd come in on Thursday and just did a light and sound check. I'm over at the fashion show behind grinders, mm-hmm. and I get a call from Brent going, you need to get over here now. Mm-hmm. Okay, jump in my car, drive.
I just
want to
be like, how many times has Cheryl heard that over the last 10 years? Well?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So I need to start writing all of this down because there are so many crazy stories. Mm-hmm. I got over there, and the show was over by the time I got there. And Brent couldn't even look me in the eye. He's going to kill me for doing this. And the volunteer box office manager said, Cheryl.
And you're like, oh,
simulated
God.
Prison scene, full frontal nudity. Simulated rape.
Yeah.
Full frontal nudity. People were demanding their money back. They were walking out demanding their money back. And Brent was just throwing.
Yeah. Take it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we learned a good lesson. People need adequate information. So we lost those people from French.
Yeah.
They were uncomfortable and insulted.
Yes.
And so we immediately put nudity, violence. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing show. I saw the next show. Oh my God, absolutely amazing show.
But it needed those quote unquote trigger warnings.
People need to know. They need to be adequately informed so they can make appropriate decisions. So that's whenever I speak to groups, I always say, okay, check those ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it may be a puppet show for adults.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
And now we have those. Yes. And so those ratings are critical. But also the flip side of that is making sure the artists are on the same page. Because 2 years ago, oh my goodness gracious sakes alive, it was Hangovers, it was Best Ofs, and a show that I'd heard great things about. Mm-hmm. And we were at Westport Coffee House. And there was a family there, a couple with their 2 preteens, and said, is this show appropriate? We want to check out Fringe. And I looked at the rating. It was PG. And I said, I've heard great things about it, and it's rated PG. Should be fine.
Yeah.
You guys.
What was that?
Full frontal male nudity. I'm sitting behind this family just... Lord, help me. Yeah. Oh, the kids.
You're trying to like put the program in front of the kids' right. face. You're like, oh gosh.
And the parents' nonverbal was just horrific.
Yeah. I'm sure they're like, thanks.
Oh, yeah, you know, and so I stress in our artist meetings, it is critical that you rate these appropriately.
Yeah.
If there's nudity, if there's violence, if there's a lot of the F word, mm-hmm. you have to rate that as mature. You want people to have a good experience in your show. And if they're not comfortable with those things, then you don't want them in your show.
Right.
Yeah.
Period.
It is a hell of a discussion though. You know, in some way, like I love, you know, for purposes of conversation on saying at what point does a warning deter someone from even checking it out.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what that fine line is. My only actual reference of this is the fact that people told me they would not come see Urine Town because it had urine in the front of it, because they thought that it was just a show about pee, or maybe about like peeing on people. And then the second one that I did this past year was Full Monty, where people didn't want to come and see a show about strippers because all they could think about was the nudity of that. And I'm just... Yeah. And I just want to like, but I know that those are not.
And their lack of comfort. And isn't that sad? Because then their lack of comfort with themselves.
Yes. Which is what I think Full Monty was about. That's what I was trying to push.
People use those sorts of things as excuses to not come see shows. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, okay, but you don't really want to get out if you're going to go that far.
But
you know?
I also where have to like, say, if you are offended, you should probably make sure you are not offended too. So yes, the information needs to be out there. If you do not want to see a show about strippers, you probably should not go and see the Full Monty.
Correct.
That is true. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter whether I think that you are silly or not, you know, like, because I'm like, sure, you know, not, again, politically, there's kids in cages, but whatever, you know. the Fringe Festival has also been, you've sort of alluded to it, kind of an all-family thing for you as well.
My family has been forced labor.
Yes. And I think that a lot of initial kind of groups and companies like that sort of do start that way. It is your friends and family that are working the box office and doing tech and painting your walls. And it's so cool when you get to that point, which I think is where you are, where you actually have teams and people who work for you, and it is not you pulling out your hair all the time. You know, you're the captain of the ship and not necessarily doing all of the work inside of it.
Correct. I mean, we have an amazing volunteer base that is just incredible. We have a team of 11 volunteers that coordinate our 200 plus volunteers.
Yeah.
They're amazing. That's the time so that cool. It takes to do this, because we're focused on giving back to the artists and to the community. So we'll get into the nuts and bolts of Fringe.
Do it.
That Fringe, there's you. Okay.
She has a button.
I'm touching my button.
Yes.
I'm touching my button.
She is. It's not the first time someone's done that on the show. We did have Ron McGee on.
That's true.
My Fringe button, for clarification. Uh-huh. If you've never fringed before, the first thing you do is buy your Fringe button. Yes. That's kind of your cover charge.
Yes.
And that's a $5 investment that helps us cover our marketing and promotion for the festival. Mm-hmm. And so
I always tell people, don't share buttons, because really that is money that goes to keeping the Fringe Festival going.
Does.
Like, you don't I know you're about to allude to that, but I'm just like, that money goes directly back to making sure that this fucker stays alive.
That is great. You know? Thank you, Corey.
Yes.
And people push back and it's just like, no. The tickets, but we're buying tickets, or I'm only going to one show and my son's in it. No, but the ticket sales, 60% of that ticket goes to ticket proceeds. I can't talk today.
It's
the ticket proceeds go to the artist.
The artist.
And then 30% go to the venue, because we don't rent the venues outright. The venues that work with us are awesome. They're willing to
they
gamble.
They take a risk.
It is. Yes. It is a risk, because we don't know what's going to sell and what isn't.
Yep.
And so it's a gamble. They get 30%. And then the festival keeps 10%, which in fact covers blasted credit card fees.
Yeah.
I mean, 10% is really not all that much.
No.
And so we operate on a very slim ship. I'm the only full-time staffer. Mm-hmm. And I was for 13 and a half years, a full-time volunteer staffer. Mm-hmm. I'm now paid, not a whole lot, but at least I'm getting something. And I have to say that my husband is probably our biggest contributor, because he hasn't kicked me out yet.
That's true,
right? And over the years, you have had to sort of be a family, you know, and to be like, damn, Phil and babies, I need you here.
Why do you think I had you?
I remember, I know we keep saying that we've known each other for 10 years, but I just kind of remember whenever, you're probably in your middle area, when everyone was still having to hustle. Like, it was,
we
all were like, has anyone checked in on Cheryl? Because, like, has she slept this week? Because she's...
That was a problem.
Yeah, I mean...
Eating. I now eat regularly. For those who know me, yes.
I'm working on doing that myself.
It's easy to push some of those things aside.
It is.
But yeah, when there's a job to get to do, you just have to get it done. And yes, in those early years, hauling platforms and chairs and...
Well, you and I went to a truck once, you know, to get shit out once in a trailer. Like,
Tons of fun.
It is. So $5 for the button. Everyone needs that.
Everyone needs that. Plus, then there are additional benefits. Mm-hmm. So we have button perks. So check out the button perks on the website, in your program, and then we're adding more on the website. And there, we work with local mom and pops and local theaters for discounts. Some of them are just during the festival, and some of them are year-round.
Yep.
So check it out. You can recoup your $5 button investment in one visit to one of our button perk companies.
And as I have told people, because generically, or it may just be this way now, right? Correct? All tickets are $10. For most shows?
All tickets are $10 for adults. Kids, 6 to 12 are $5, mm-hmm. and lap sitters, mm-hmm. 5 and under, are free. Mm-hmm. Now, kids' buttons up to 12 are all free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We want this to be affordable. We want families to be able to come and enjoy the arts and help kids develop an appreciation. And so we don't want a barrier.
Yep.
But if you're going the first time, I just tell people, are you really that mad that you just spent $15 on a production? Yeah. You know, like, if you take in the button price and the $10 thing, I'm like, you're still probably going to get a decent fucking right. show for $15.
Well, and remember that all $15 is staying in Kansas City with local artists. I mean, some international artists, yeah, but, yes. you know, but still staying within. I mean, it's not...
And you are helping...
It's not as if it's like... And then some of it's going to, you know, our sponsor, MasterCard, or whatever. I mean, it's
but
all...
But don't you want to say... I mean, I know I'm pushing the arts aside, but don't you feel good as a person who realizes that a portion of your money pays for the pro bono, essentially, right. of that... Mm-hmm. of that venue? For because with the Arts Asylum, sort of to prepare that, we don't book anything in the month of July.
Right.
Because we kind of make a little bit of money off of rehearsals when they come in and allowing mm-hmm. stuff to do that, but it is a full month that
right,
we also
yeah.
don't get our payment until August. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
correct.
It's also the investment of knowing that I have no income coming in for this month, so right. you better believe I'm trying to sell every damn seat for all 6 shows.
That's right.
In a week. Mm-hmm. Like, I really do think it helps engage the venues to say, we need to fill these seats just as much
yeah.
as these artists do as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a pretty fucking cool thing that we have in Kansas City, and I sort of, whenever we talk to other people and they don't have a fringe festival, I'm like, what? Like, I just, it's another one of those
St.
reasons.
St. Louis has only had theirs for like 2-3 years, something like that,
right? It's been in transition. No, they've been, it's closer to 8.
Oh, really?
Yes,
wow.
but they had a 2-year hiatus and
okay.
then came back.
Okay.
Do you have like a big forum group where all of the fringes
oh, yes.
come together?
Oh,
and...
yes. Mm-hmm. So 15 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was calling Minnesota Fringe, going, hey, help, hey, what do you think,
yeah.
hey, me and 4 other fringes that were starting that year, we
yeah.
were all calling Minnesota, why reinvent the wheel? Minnesota had has an amazing festival, and we were all calling the then director to get guidance, and she's like, you know, guys, this is great, but why don't we all get together?
Yeah.
So in October of that year, of 2005, we all converged. She invited all the Fringe directors in the U.S. Mm-hmm. to Minneapolis, and for the very first time, the Fringe directors came together in U.S., and it's a very loose organization called U.S. Association of Fringe Festivals,
mm-hmm.
where we all openly share with each other. We all have a little bit different approach to the same animal, and it took us 3 years to agree to disagree, mm-hmm. because some are curated,
mm-hmm.
some are juried, some
yeah.
are not. Some are only performance art, some are not. We are visual and film
you take
and
everything.
They
yeah. can give. You
anything
we even have, it's the wrong term, but...
The Blake Gallery.
Fringe
with benefits.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, but the Arts Asylum, I think, is a great place to have a whole gallery full
mm-hmm.
of art that is created, you know, with those mediums and those models and everything.
Okay,
love
so we need to clear this up for
mm-hmm.
those who don't know what we're talking about. So on the visual art side of Fringe,
mm-hmm.
we have 2 galleries.
Mm-hmm.
One is at Union Station in Grand Hall.
Beautiful. Love it that I go there and spend
yes.
hours.
But there are some pieces that cannot be exhibited there.
Mm-hmm.
Our first year exhibiting there, I got a call the first day from administration going,
mm-hmm.
these 4 pictures need to come down now. It's
mm-hmm.
like, what do you mean? And there was 2 of them were sketches of a nude. Sketches.
Mm-hmm.
Pencil sketches.
Yes.
Beautiful sketches, but
mm-hmm.
still, they were nudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but this is art. And he went, no, you don't understand. People going into the Nelson know they're going into an art gallery.
Right.
People
and
going
expect,
into the, yeah.
But and expect to see art of all kinds. But coming into Union Station, when mamas are bringing their little boys into Science City, they're not expecting.
Or people getting off the train who
exactly.
had no idea. Yeah.
And so that put it in perspective. It's like, okay, we have to be appropriate for the genre, for the
mm-hmm.
venue.
Yeah.
And so we have a separate venue for our adult art, if you
mm-hmm.
will. And that's called Fringe with Benefits. Mm-hmm. And that is here at Arts Asylum.
Yes.
Right. So check it out.
Last year, it was so cool to have that
here. It was so awesome.
And then the people who, like, had opinions about it were even better. Yeah. Like, you know, it
even
was...
Even when prepared, some people still want to be silly. Because we had a giant sign outside the door and we didn't leave. Normally, our collab space, our gallery space is open because... Mm-hmm. It's just open to everybody. But we obviously closed the doors and put a sign, you know, letting people know. There are still people who were like, you told me to go into a gallery with naked people. And I'm like, yeah, well, there was a big sign.
And next year, you know, which is, I'm sort of jumping the gun on it, but next year, if we get it back here, I would love to figure out how to have almost like a TED Talk with the artists to come and to allow them. Because what we... have conversations a lot about is what is the difference between porn and erotic art? Like, what is it? What, why, what the conversations come from that? And, you know, and then body expression and making sure that you are proud of who you are. And so I see that gallery with so many plus signs in why it's important. And I'm always intrigued on why people
don't. Yeah.
And it could just be that they don't have anyone who is telling them that it's okay to, like, love your body and yourself. Yeah.
Well, and one of the artists, when this first started, and I'm trying to think what year it was, when we had our first adult art, if you will, and it was a local photographer in response to the objectification of women. Mm-hmm. She said, I see all of these pictures of women, women's bodies. Where are the men?
Is that Sandy's?
Sandy Woodson.
Yes. We actually had those at our
grand opening party.
We kept all of that entire display and had her hang that at our grand
opening. And her commentary is important.
It is. If you read, and that's the thing, is that, like, don't just take it, you know, art should never be taken at face value anyhow. But, you know, when you read all of the amazing words that went along with the photography.
These affidavits from these men
it was incredible.
Who have been tortured.
That's still one of my favorite collections ever.
There is a lot to learn. So I challenge everyone, not only with visual arts, but also with performing arts, step out of your comfort zone. Try something that you wouldn't normally try. I think you might be surprised.
I have a pretty cool grandma, you know, and 10 years ago when we sort of opened up, or five to 7 years ago when we opened this, we did have Sandy's work up, you know, at our grand opening party. And my grandma came in and she was just like, I'm glad to see it, you know, like, and she is a sweet little Lutheran woman, you know, who's like 85, but she was like, this is stuff that I've never been exposed to, or these conversation points I've never, and I was like, see, that's why we do it.
Yep.
You're proving my point.
Parts are parts. We all have parts.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, no, there's nothing. We do have to be a little more careful every now and again because festival now butts up straight to our school year. And we do have high school students on site now.
Yes.
But it doesn't, I mean, we always, you know, just make sure that that's not. So it, whereas
and
it
in the past year, that was a conversation we then now get to have with our high school students is because we loved to, that was one of the reasons when Crossroads came here, we talked about to be like, the asylum is its own creature. Like, I, at any point, you could see or have a conversation that takes place around here. So let's just go ahead and
do
talk
it
about it. Because I think censorship sucks sometimes.
So that's the whole point of why I do French.
Yeah.
Yep.
Through our artist's vision, we can open people's hearts and minds. I love nothing better than walking out of a theater going, I never thought about it that way before.
And aren't you glad that we have a vessel for people to try?
Yes.
And I also say, I don't know, maybe I've stolen this from you as well, but let's say you are hating it. Well, it's only an hour.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like,
exactly.
It's, it is only
45
minutes. And if you walk out of there being like, I hated that, you're still having a reaction. That's still art.
Sure.
And every year, it never fails. Hold on. My apologies.
It's all right.
It never fails. Somebody calls or emails saying, that show was the worst show I've ever seen. If that were my first Fringe show, I'd never be back. And inevitably, somebody else, I'll run into somebody else going, wow, Cheryl, I saw da-da-da. Thank you. That really made me think.
It's the point, man. Art. It's the only thing that does that.
And then I forget sometimes that we are in that bubble because I believe that every day. I'm just like, art is important.
But we're exposed to it all the time.
We are.
Not everybody has
not
that.
Everybody has. Yeah.
It's another one of my I'm so lucky. What were you going to say, Courtney?
Oh, I just, do you think what has changed with festival over the last 2 years that wasn't true for the years before that because of where we are in the last 2 years of existence?
We talk about that we're excited about the art that's going to come out of this Trump administration and this whole crazy stuff. And the stuff that is starting to really show up, because 9/11 stuff really didn't really start showing up until 3 or 4 years afterward, where people kind of felt like they could tell the stories and it wasn't so painful. So I'm really interested in what art is going to come out of that. And if you feel, to Courtney's question, if it has infiltrated Fringe in the last 2 years yet.
It's beginning to.
Yeah.
It's beginning to. And so this, the Fringe is free speech for artists.
Is there anything you don't allow in the Fringe Festival?
Well, what's not legal with the city? So there cannot be, what is the coitus on stage? otherwise, we've learned so many interesting lessons. 1 year, an artist who'd been here before, does the Fringe circuit across the U.S., submitted a show titled Dancing Naked. So I called him and I said, so, show title's Dancing Naked, are you? Hell yes. Let me check and make sure we can do that here. So I called the city and they said, it's theater, right? I went, yes. Yes.
Cool.
No problem. But my board president was flipping out because he then invited with each show people to join him on stage naked. And he was amazed because he's done this show all over the U.S. But only in Kansas City did someone join him every single show. But his final show, he had 5 people on stage naked.
Isn't that... But I love that. Someone felt comfortable enough or wanted to express themselves enough. Yes.
But then the flip side of that is when we had multiple burlesque shows, at one point we wanted to put them all in one venue so we could provide additional security.
Sure.
We couldn't do that because then it becomes an adult entertainment venue and we're subject to state
different laws.
Yes.
Different laws. But if we kept it split up and sandwiched between theater and comedy and...
It's just part of the evening that way. Yes.
Then it's theater. Isn't that bizarre?
The verbiage is insane.
But then there's also the rules when you do have burlesque that it has to be pasties, not paint. When you're... My board, oh my goodness. Some of the conversations in my board meetings, and there were times that we would stop and go, we're really having these conversations, aren't we? It's like, yeah, it's strange.
We have to talk about the difference between pasties and paint.
Yes!
Yes. Give us our call to action before we go into our next phase.
Fringe programs are available. You can get them at Union Station, at the info booth. Our office is on the theater level, and if you pop into our office, a bomb has gone off in there. We have so much going on in there. It does look like a bomb's gone off. We're making buttons. We're getting all the volunteer stuff ready. It's lots of balls in the air. There are multiple places. We'll be posting on the website all the drop spots. We have programs all over the city, so you can go to the website or call the info phone. 359-816-359-9195.
And kcfringe.org. And can you purchase tickets online?
Yes, you can purchase tickets online now.
Awesome.
Now, there are 3 ways to get tickets. If you're not comfortable buying online, you can, starting the 14th, Fringe 411 will be in Grand Hall of Union Station with our visual arts exhibit. And you can purchase tickets there, or you can purchase tickets half an hour before each show in each venue. And buttons are available in all locations. Our office, Fringe 411, and at every single venue.
That's awesome. And you can get a list of venues and shows on kcfringe.org. Yesterday I was on there just perusing as a person who wants to send people that way to make sure that all the information is there, and it is a workable website. So I will vouch for the fact that you can find all of the information.
Good.
And what I love, honestly, both the program does that and the website, is that you can search both by venue and show.
Yes.
So that is, I think that is a really cool sorting.
And we've added the schedule because some people just want to see the schedule by day. So there's now a new link for the schedule. So if there's feedback, we welcome feedback. We know what we're doing, and so something may not be obvious to us.
Yeah.
So if you have feedback, please send it to info@caseyfringe.org or call the number 816-359-9195. Multiple new things if we have enough time.
Yeah. Oh, we do.
So
this is your time.
For those who have been to Fringe before, our opening night teasers are way too damn long.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we're doing two nights.
Two nights, yeah.
So Tuesday and Wednesday nights, the 16th and 17th, at Extreme Screen at Union Station, we'll have teasers. Tuesday will be all ages. The goal is all ages and some of the parental guidance. And then on Wednesday, more parental guidance in the mature audience shows.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And then on Thursday, we're having a kickoff party in Haverty Yards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So come down and have fun with us.
And what is this sort of library tour that you have people going on? Or, you know.
Oh, well, we've done a whole... We just keep adding more.
I know
more
you do.
And more. So last Tuesday, we did our first library preview at the new Monticello Library in Shawnee.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, we're doing a preview at the Central Research Library in Overland Park. Tomorrow night, we're doing a preview at Casey Moe Central Library. Tons of opportunities. Oh, and Johnson County Library is going to be hosting their pick, their best choice of Fringe later in August. They'll be remounting that at Central Library. And we're adding a new award. Theater League is providing a cash prize for the best new play.
Awesome.
So we have judges who
American Theater Guild?
Is that what they are now?
As Theater League doesn't Theater exist
anymore. Well, Theater League Foundation.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kansas City. Or, right? I'm so confused. Maybe I've just fucked this up.
We don't know.
Well, Mark Edelman.
Yeah.
And he's maintained the Theater League Foundation.
He has.
So,
gotcha.
The foundation is still called
Sorry for that information. That wrong information, guys.
No, but it is confusing, and it's a change from what we're all used to.
Okay, cool.
So, Theater League is now...
American Theater Guild.
Mm-hmm.
Theater Guild. Mark is retired, and the new director has renamed it. But then he has the foundation.
Yes, the foundation.
The Theater League Foundation, and they are funding this. And so, they're doing this with Minnesota also.
Awesome.
And we'll hopefully be expanding to other Fringe festivals next year.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I from this little pocket thing that a few people had heard of, you know, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, and now everyone I know is talking about Fringe, so it's really cool. You know, congratulations for what all of the blood, sweat, and tears that you and everyone around you has done.
The community was ready for it and needed this.
Yes.
Because this has spawned lots of new theater companies, lots of new theaters.
Well, you sort of forced people to... not forced, that sounds very harsh and dramatic, but you sort of forced people to come up with their own small theater company, potentially, to produce a show. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I feel people have spawned from that moment of saying, well, I made Faust Theater, you know, or whatever for this day. Now let's see if we can
do
move
more.
Forward.
Let's do more. Mm-hmm. And why
exactly.
not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I love to see.
Absolutely. And make sure, please, that everybody out there who is just attending festival remembers that everyone working these festivals is there on a volunteer basis. Please be kind.
Yes, please. Yes, you've been there behind.
I mean, we've all done it. We've all been there. But remember that this is a festival fueled entirely by volunteers. And that is a huge thing for our city and our community. And, you know, you may be frustrated at the box office for XYZ, but remember that person is there because they want to be. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, stop in and say hi to the 411 people and all the people that are around making this happen in the city. Because it's pretty cool that we get it.
Yeah.
And it only happens because of that many people that
That's
are
right.
out there willing to do it.
Yep.
So.
And go find a venue that you've never been to before.
Yes.
Go find a show that you've never...
Venues.
That you're like, I don't know if I'll like that. Go see if you'll like
yep.
that. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I usually find first. Well, in our last sort of minutes here, we have our actors' studio questions sort of for
uh-oh,
you.
Uh-oh,
so
what is this?
It's easy. So what is your definition of real magic?
A real magic?
A real
so is it R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L?
R-E-A-L, but in your world it could be R-E-E-L.
Oh, I'm going choked up, you guys. There's so many wonderful things that happen and the lives that are touched and the people that come together and help each other because we're all coming together. Yeah. Just the folks that come together to experience Fringe and experience each other is real magic.
I love that. Human interaction and that experience. Mm-hmm. I always say, I said that, you know, at Hamilton on Wednesday, which everyone goes to see Hamilton, you know, whatever. But I was just like, we got to see Hamilton with those 2,400 people. Like, we were all in the room together. We all experienced the same 3 hours together. And then,
I was there that night too.
Yeah. And none of us will be in that room potentially together in that order, with that cast, with that, and that's why I love live theater. It is a painting that never is finished, because every day is a new paintbrush. You know, you have a new audience member. It's just, it is
the
insane.
Interactions are different each time. Yeah.
Or someone has a bad day on stage, and you know, I mean, they're humans up there as well. So it's pretty cool.
Let's see here. Okay, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you, and why?
Oh, lordy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a multicolored crayon.
Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. We have a few of you who have sat on the couch.
All the colors.
Why? Because we really are all one. Mm. We really are all one. And so those who try to divide us by color or sexuality or religion are just fear. It's all fear based. We're all one, and we're all multicolored crayons.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to be more multicolored. Every day more, I'm just like, look at all of that. What is something that you were told that you couldn't do that you have accomplished or that you are in the process of accomplishing?
Okay, this total blank look on my face as I'm looking at Courtney and Corey going, start the list.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
No. I mean, there are people, when I started this, you can't do this. You'll never get this off the ground. So yeah, mm-hmm. This is probably this. Beyond my family, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have an end goal for yourself with Fringe? Have you set yourself a retirement date?
Oh, hell no.
Good. I expect to be wheeling your coffin into a Fringe venue. Be like, oh, Cheryl had to get here. Let's put the chairs on top of the coffin and roll her in. Yeah.
No, I'm continually looking for new opportunities for us to reach into the community and bring more people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. You are.
Yep.
You are a community leader. I think you might have even gotten the Urban Hero Award or something about that.
Yeah. That was a nice...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A nice recognition.
That was lovely. Yeah.
That was a fun one.
Was that your first Urban Hero? Can you only win one Urban Hero?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I was more blown away that you hadn't yet.
Yes.
Like, it was... Whenever we heard that, I was like, damn.
But see, that's part of the Fringe barrier. People are not... Their perceptions of what Fringe is or isn't. Yes. Has been part of that barrier.
And you broke that.
And continue to every day.
Yes.
Oh, all right. You are invisible for 24 hours.
Oh.
What do you do with your time?
Oh, you guys, that stumped me. I have a number of things racing through my head that I can't talk about.
Or can you? Katie Gilchrist said she wanted to sit in the locker room with all of the
Sporting KC
players and just watch. And we were like, that is an honest and dirty answer. You know.
So I'm arts-based, and so it would be behind the scenes of an event, some event somewhere. Maybe Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
To see the inner workings of what's going on in Edinburgh, the Granddaddy Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yes.
If you had a hashtag or a motto for this year, what would it be?
For me or for the festival?
For you, for Cheryl Kimmy.
Don't piss me off.
I think that
we have moved past her original badge that she used to have. We have moved past that.
What was that?
Her original badge back in the day, it was normally hidden underneath. I think it says director normally, but hidden underneath was one that said Queen Badge.
Yes. I can be lovely.
Uh-huh.
mm-hmm. or not.
Uh-huh.
I think you are a no bullshit person. Mm-hmm. And I think often, we've talked about this on the show, I think that women often get a weird adjective associated with being strong. And I think men often are expected to be and are rewarded. But sometimes you being a badass is...
Yep.
Somehow negative.
So I'll change the hashtag to what that old one, that old moniker was, Queen Bitch.
Queen Bitch, right. But I think that you are, you know, I am an advocate every week on this show that I answer better to females. You know, I think that I really just like hearing from them and working around them. Because sort of the white male time needs to shut the fuck up for a second, you know, and I just...
True story.
While we're also, we can work together, but I need to hear your voice too.
But we need a balance.
Yes.
In not only in relationships, but in ourselves. Mm-hmm. In balancing our masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. So men have been taught to push out their feminine, so that's probably why you're welcoming the feminine to help
right.
you, yes, mm-hmm. get that balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And then crazy conversations about how because of my sexuality I'm supposed to be more feminine, you know, or something. Like just mm-hmm. this whole, I'm so glad to be living in 2019 whenever we've got every gender binary sexual orientation. I'm just like, thank you. I mean, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And it's not my job to try and necessarily figure it out. If I want to date you or be friends with you, I think that's the conversation that we get to have. But
exactly.
If you're just chilling over there, I don't give a shit who you are over
right.
there. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Be
so
you.
It's be you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was our hour.
Wow.
I know. Really?
Holy cow.
I know.
Quick.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, last two questions are, is there anything that you haven't got to say or you would like to leave our audiences with?
Oh, there's always so much to share about Fringe.
Yes.
Go online. Get a program. Immerse yourself in Fringe. There is so much to learn and see and do. We have teasers. We have late night parties. We work hard. We play hard. We want to connect with you.
Yes.
Yeah, I always try to sell that final day of Fringe, that best of day.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, go and support those shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because often that maybe is the show you didn't get to see because
exactly.
it was sold out mm-hmm. or whatever. And there are times that those shows are the ones who have like the smallest audiences in that I've sort of seen in a couple of different
on
places.
Sundays, yeah.
Yeah, on that Sunday. Mm-hmm. So go.
So to clarify, the final Sunday, the best-selling show in each venue gets a show.
Yes.
So there's only one show in every venue.
Yep.
And it is not at the same time.
Yeah, they're not all at the same time. You
yeah.
can see them all, but you can go and then
you can
end
see
it at the...
Yes.
Yeah, so you can
yeah.
see three shows and then end it at the party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and at that party.
Yep.
Celebrate.
And
right.
we've sort of already said it, but who would you like to hear from on the couch? If you were listening, who should
oh,
we have?
Phil Keenan.
Phil
Keenan. He's the one who introduced me to Fringe, so...
Yes.
Blame him.
Yep. Or thank him. Or thank him.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
yes.
Phil Keenan has been recommended a few times
mm-hmm.
Just because of that brain, and I think he is one fascinating motherfucker, I'm going to say
true.
That. I love how willing he is to just do it. And do it authentically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're coming for you, Phil Keenan.
That's
get
right.
ready.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, so
yeah.
much.
Thank you, guys.
So, I've been so excited to talk to you. And you are definitely a person who I'm glad that is in our immediate circle. And we thank you for helping make the Arts Asylum continue to be a venue that people can come to because you trust us with
yes.
your Fringe Festival.
Yes.
So.
And vice versa. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for
yes.
everything.
So go see Fringe Festival, kick ass. That's July 14th to the 28th, kcfringe.org. And we had Cheryl Kimmy on the show today.
Yeah.
We'll,
see
we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.